Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today, on today's show, we're going to discuss aging, Alzheimer's disease with the Minneapolis VA, and find out what the St. Cloud VA became a yellow ribbon company. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Chaplains play an important role in our armed forces. Whether our service members are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, or any one of the hundreds of other faith traditions, our chaplain corps is ready to meet their spiritual needs. Embedded in units across the force, our chaplains advise our commanders and ensure the free exercise rights for all service members are upheld, including those who hold no faith tradition. Chaplain teams spiritually enlighten and rejuvenate our troops during the good times and console and heal us during the bad. They have answered a higher calling to their faith and to their fellow service members.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Adriana Seeley from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center to talk about aging and Alzheimer's disease. Adriana, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Adriana, I was looking at your bio, and it looks to me like you must have spent a good portion of your life going to school.
That is true. I did. Bachelor's degree, PhD, and some postdoctoral training as well.
And so you went to several different universities. How did you get to the VA healthcare system?
Throughout my training, I worked within the VA healthcare system. I worked at the Portland VA as a trainee and also at the San Diego VA healthcare system. So I had some experience working within the VA healthcare system and feel very passionate about working with veterans. So it was a natural place for me to end up after all of my schooling was complete.
So you spent quite a few years in California and Washington. How did you get to Minnesota?
One of my friends from graduate school, she was from Minneapolis and was working at the Minneapolis VA. And there was a job opening. And the timing just so happened that I was looking for a job. And she convinced me to come out and interview. And as soon as I got here, I just really knew it was the right place to be. Just a great facility. Great place to work. And again, working with veterans is something I feel very strongly about. So overall, it was just it was the right fit for me.
Now, did you work through a number of different positions at the VA?
I've been at the Minneapolis VA for 3 years now. I started as a staff neuropsychologist, which basically means I provide evaluations of memory and thinking to veterans where there's a concern of a decline in cognitive functioning or daily functioning, oftentimes within the context of concerns about dementia. So I still do that work, but I've also moved into a position in the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center, or the GREC, at the Minneapolis VA, which is a center of excellence that's focused on providing the best research, teaching, and clinical care for our aging veteran population. And I am primarily a researcher in the GREC, so I have that role as well as my clinical role.
And, of course, the Minneapolis VA Medical Center takes care of over 100,000 veterans. So you've got, for a researcher, you've got quite a group of people that you can work with and watch.
Yes, absolutely. The number of veterans that are aging, that are age 65 or older, is growing along with just the general aging of the U.S. population. So there are certainly a lot of veterans who are aging who I work with at the Minneapolis VA.
And Adriana, I'm a patient out there, so I get out to the hospital quite often. And so a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans out there that are over 65 years old now, and is the aging of the U.S. veteran population, is that something to be concerned about?
Yes, I would say so. Similar to the aging of the U.S. population, veterans are aging. Veterans age 65 or older represent the largest segment of the veteran population now. And the aging of veterans is very important from a public health standpoint, because advancing age is the leading risk factor for development of neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's disease.
We're speaking with Adriana Seeley from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Adriana, can you tell me, since I was doing the research that you were coming to see me, I've seen this question. What's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So Alzheimer's disease is a degenerative brain disease. It is the most common cause of dementia. So roughly 60 to 80% of dementia cases are due to Alzheimer's disease as the underlying cause. Dementia is a term to describe a syndrome or a group of symptoms that has a number of different causes. So dementia can be due to a variety of different causes, but the characteristic symptoms of dementia are difficulties with cognitive abilities like memory, language, problem solving, other types of cognitive skills that can affect a person's ability to perform their daily activities.
So, Adriana, if we live long enough, is this something that we're all going to experience to some degree?
You know, that's a great question as well. I don't think there is a definitive answer to that, but there certainly are people who live into their 90s and even into the 100 years old who do not develop dementia or Alzheimer's disease. So there's a lot of research going on to really help to figure out what really puts people at risk, at increased risk for dementia and Alzheimer's disease, so that we can be better at implementing preventative strategies.
So is your general overall health a factor in that? Are there things a person can do as they age to ensure against this not happening?
Yes. There is a lot of really compelling research that goes to show that there are modifiable risk factors for developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So lifestyle strategies that are good for your cardiovascular health and your heart are also good for your brain. So we know that managing and minimizing cardiovascular risk factors like smoking, hypertension, diabetes, especially during midlife, can be very helpful in terms of mitigating risk for dementia in later life, as well as engaging in healthy activities such as regular physical exercise, regular mentally stimulating activities, minimizing stress. All of those types of things have also shown to be helpful for maintaining cognitive health into old age.
So if some of our veterans out there or their spouses are starting to see signs that they're becoming forgetful or some of this is starting to happen, are there things that they can do to ward it off or hold it off as long as possible?
Well, I think that some of those lifestyle activities and making sure that any modifiable risk factor, especially cardiovascular kind of health risk factors, are very stable and well-maintained, that can be very helpful, as well as just incorporating healthy lifestyle activities and diet, nutrition, balanced diet. But if there are concerns, then that can be something that could be appropriate to bring up to a primary care physician, who would then be able to decide whether or not a more comprehensive evaluation would be appropriate for the particular veteran. And what's tricky sometimes is that there are some cognitive changes that happen with aging that are normal, that are not pathological, and that would not be considered Alzheimer's disease. And so really it's helpful to have a specialist and have medical providers to help make those distinctions.
So what I'm hearing is that the better your overall health, the better your habits are in terms of exercise, eat right, stimulate your brain, engage in some activities, the more of those things you can do, the better off you'll be when it comes to dementia or Alzheimer's.
That is absolutely right. The most compelling evidence that we have is that a healthy, balanced lifestyle, active lifestyle, diet, nutrition, cognitive stimulation throughout life, in middle age, even into old age, is going to be, those are going to be the most helpful things that people can do in order to maintain their cognitive and brain health.
Adriana, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about aging and Alzheimer's disease on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Adriana Seeley from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System about aging and Alzheimer's disease. And Adriana, you were explaining to me the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Can you just run through that quickly again?
Sure. So Alzheimer's disease is a neurodegenerative brain disease that is the most common cause of dementia. And dementia is a term that describes a syndrome or a set of symptoms that can have a number of different causes. But the characteristic or the typical symptoms of dementia in general are difficulties with cognitive skills such as memory, attention, problem solving, or language.
Now, I imagine everybody has a little problem once in a while. Once in a while, you lose a word.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't remember that word. I would think that that's somewhat normal.
Mm-hmm.
But then as dementia starts, what are the symptoms? How do you recognize that you're maybe losing it?
Sure. It's a great question. So you're right. There are some occasional cognitive slips or lapses that can happen with normal aging, such as, you know, taking a little bit longer for you to come up with a name or to kind of think of something, but eventually it comes to you. I think we've many people have had that experience. Where we tend to be more concerned is if those types of issues become more frequent over time, they begin to become worse over time and start interfering with a person's ability to manage their day-to-day activities. Other signs or symptoms that we would be more concerned about are difficulty remembering things like recent conversations, recent events, things that having to repeat questions, things of that nature.
So a little bit of that might be normal, but too much of it might be a sign that you've got some kind of a problem.
Exactly. That would be correct.
Now, I'm curious, you're studying all these veterans that come to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Is there any difference in aging and dementia for our veterans than for the rest of the civilian population?
Veterans are a unique population who are, in fact, more vulnerable in some ways to developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease because of their unique military-related experiences and exposures. So there has been quite a bit of research that has been done that have looked at things like the impact of having a history of a traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress disorder or exposures such as Agent Orange exposure and how those types of military-specific conditions can or have or put individuals at greater risk for developing dementia and cognitive decline versus non-veterans.
So to the extent that the veterans went through some tough times like off to war or, as you said, post-traumatic stress, maybe thinking about suicide, traumatic brain injury, those kind of things might make them a little more susceptible to these type of issues?
That's right. So studies have shown that in some cases, veterans who have those military-related conditions are at increased risk of developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And other studies have shown that veterans are at risk for developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease earlier than perhaps they would have if they did not have those earlier kind of insults to the brain, if you will.
Thinking about my sociology classes, and you are what you have experienced in your life, and if you've had a lot of tough issues or if you've gone to war, for instance, then that could trigger some other things, physical problems or mental problems or any number of things.
That's absolutely right. Even conditions that are more common in the veteran population, such as depression and sleep disorders, have been shown to increase risk for developing cognitive decline in later life. So as we were mentioning before, maintaining and managing health conditions in midlife and later life can be really important in terms of maintaining cognitive brain health and staving off cognitive decline.
So once again, over a long period of time, if you try to eat right, try to exercise, try to stay mentally engaged, whether you're retired or not, in something that's stimulating, then you can hold some of these things. Hopefully, you can hold some of these things off for a while.
That's right. And then for veterans who do have or who have struggled with things like post-traumatic stress disorder, or depression, or mental health conditions, similar to the importance of managing physical health conditions, it's also important to manage mental health conditions to the extent that is feasible. So maintaining a stable mood and minimizing or treating mood disturbance is very important as well.
So once again, the brain is like another muscle, use it or lose it, right?
That's right.
We're speaking with Adriana Seeley from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Adriana, you're doing some research out there. Can you tell me about the research and do you need volunteers?
Yes, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to. Typically, what we notice with Alzheimer's disease is that the symptoms develop very slowly and gradually over time. And oftentimes by the time patients will come to our office for a clinical evaluation, symptoms have already been in place for a while and the disease has been progressing. And so my research is designed to try to use technology to help identify the earliest signs of Alzheimer's disease before they progress, so that way we are able to better intervene and better allow people to maintain independence in their homes for as long as possible. So we're trying to leverage technology to help us really catch people at the earliest possible time.
So are you looking to recruit some volunteers that you can monitor over a period of time?
That's exactly right. So I have one large NIH study that's starting up here in a couple of months where we're going to be looking to recruit about 70 volunteers who live in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area who are 65 years of age or older, either in normal cognitive health or who have mild cognitive concerns. And we are going to be monitoring or kind of looking at different types of daily activity through technology to help us have a better understanding of normal aging and early dementia.
So we keep alluding to this, and I just want to come out and ask right away. Mm-hmm. It seems like there are things you can do mm-hmm. to improve your prospects of living a good long life without mm-hmm. Alzheimer's and to maybe hold off dementia from becoming a problem in your life. So we've talked about exercise, diet, mm-hmm. those type of issues. Mm-hmm. So if you get a patient that's already having some trouble, mm-hmm. how do you help them? What do you tell them? Same things we've been talking about?
Definitely the same things we've been talking about. So research shows that even people who have a mild dementia or mild cognitive impairment, they can still benefit from regular physical exercise, especially. We have the most compelling evidence for regular physical exercise, helping to maintain even a mild cognitive impairment, and with the hope of delaying progression to more severe forms of cognitive impairment. So exercise, especially, very, very important, even for people who are already struggling a little bit with memory and thinking. And then above and beyond that, there can be strategies and techniques that can be implemented in people's lives and in people's homes to help minimize the impact of memory difficulties. So we like to suggest things like using compensatory aids and strategies. So for medication taking, utilizing a pill box, keeping appointments on a calendar, being very good about making notes and making lists, really trying to do whatever is possible in the environment to help structure it in a way that's more organized that will help to mitigate the impact of the cognitive.
So establish some good habits.
Good habits, good routines.
And routines and record keeping mm-hmm. and keep with it.
Keep with it, absolutely.
And then you'll have less opportunity to forget.
Absolutely, or will have less impact, which in turn will help to maintain and prolong independent living. And most people want to be independent as long as possible.
So last question, Doctor, if some of our listeners want to volunteer for that study, how do they do it?
Contact the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and specifically the Geriatric Research Education and Clinical Center, the GREC, which is where me and my research team are located. And we would be happy to talk further about that.
Adriana, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was Adriana Seeley from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with the St. Cloud VA and find out why they became a Yellow Ribbon Company. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with the St. Cloud VA Medical Center and find out how and why they became a Yellow Ribbon Company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor all African-American veterans, those serving today and those who have served throughout history. African-Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contribution African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is one of our producers, who is the Director of Military Outreach at the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
I assume you've been busy again all year in 2018 out there signing up more Yellow Ribbon companies.
Yes, we have been. We've been doing a great job with all of our wonderful companies in Minnesota that are becoming Yellow Ribbon companies.
And we've got one that's just a little bit different today because it's a medical center.
Yes, the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System is one what became our 62nd Yellow Ribbon Company last fall. And we already knew they were doing some wonderful, of course, support efforts for our veterans. But going through the Yellow Ribbon Company program helps them take a look at every area of the healthcare system to ensure that they are working towards veteran recruiting, hiring, and retaining, military-connected employee support, and military-connected community support.
And, of course, they do a great job of taking care of their veteran patients up there as well.
Absolutely. They are well known for doing that, and we have had them as a partner long before they became a Yellow Ribbon Company.
Would you like to introduce our two guests?
Yes, today I have Cheryl T. Schaefer with us today, who's the Associate Director of the
St. Cloud VA Healthcare
Thank
System.
Thank you. VA Healthcare System.
And?
Oh, and Lisa Rosendahl, who's with us today.
And she's the Human Resources Officer.
Yes, she's a Human Resources Officer.
Cheryl and Lisa, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having us.
Cheryl, we had you on the show a few years back when we did a show up at St. Cloud, and that was kind of fun doing it at the VA Medical Center, but I understand that you spent some time in the United States Army.
I have spent some time in the Army. I'm an Army veteran of 12-plus years, and it was really wonderful to serve my country, but even more wonderful to serve veterans after my Army career.
So we can refer to you as Major. Probably haven't heard
former
that for
Major.
A while.
I haven't heard it for a while.
All right. And Lisa, I understand you spent some time in the Army as well.
I did, just under 10 years.
And how did you get to the St. Cloud VA Medical Center?
Oh, I took a roundabout way. When I left the military, I spent some time in private sector HR. And then I was in St. Cloud, and I moved across the street to the St. Cloud VA, and I've been there for 15 years.
So as the human resources officer for a medical center that takes care of veterans, are you out there looking for veterans to work as well?
Absolutely.
And Annette, that's part of the commitment they make when they become Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, not only recruiting, hiring, but also retaining, creating a workplace environment in which veterans feel welcome and appreciated.
So, Cheryl, it's been a few years since you've been on the show. We're going to have to take care of that. You have to come on more often. But tell us a little bit about the VA Medical Center in St. Cloud. How many patients do you have? How many people do you take care of up there?
Well, on an annual basis, we take care of over 39,000 patients per year. Of course, they come back multiple times, but
so they're from all over central Minnesota.
We've been growing. We have a 27-county area that we consider our market, but we see patients from all over the country.
And you've got a great campus up there.
It's beautiful. It's one of the historic campuses, and it's gorgeous.
And so most of the veterans in Minnesota know where that is and how to find it. And, of course, we had a good time when we came up there and visited with you and some of your people. So were you involved in becoming Yellow Ribbon?
I was involved. I was the executive sponsor for the initiative for our company. And we were talking earlier, this kind of status as a Yellow Ribbon company takes a team effort, but you do need support from the organization. And we felt it important to have executive and key leadership support for doing this.
So you spent some time with Annette and put together a plan?
Quite a bit of time.
And I'll bet most of that plan was just talking about things you were already doing.
And bolstering it and identifying new opportunities. One of the really nice things about this network is that you can get all kinds of ideas from what other companies are doing as part of the Yellow Ribbon community.
And, of course, Annette puts on, I think, twice a year, don't you have events where you bring together the Yellow Ribbon companies?
I do. We do a fall and a spring Yellow Ribbon Company seminar, and they share their best practices, so they do a great job of that.
So you've been able to pick the brains of some of those other companies and establish some relationships with them.
We have, and we'd like to think that we've been able to share a lot of our best practices as well.
And probably a lot of information, a lot of knowledge about veterans along the way.
Absolutely.
So are there some, at least are there some commitments that St. Cloud VA had to make while becoming a Yellow Ribbon company?
Yes, as Cheryl had mentioned, when we put our committee together, we methodically went through and looked at all the programs that we had in place, and we added some commitments. So a couple of things that we did was we have a hiring fair in St. Cloud, and HR staff attended that fair. But most recently, we added a housekeeping leadership to that fair there so they could help attract and talk about the benefits that housekeeping has to offer at the St. Cloud VA. We've added veteran benefits information to all of our new employee orientation materials. We've added it to all of our job fairs. So we've always talked about the VA and what they had to offer and what we have to offer, but now we've incorporated veteran benefits in that.
Cheryl, we talked to the Minneapolis VA on a kind of regular basis, and they seem like they're always looking for doctors, and they're always looking for nurses, mm-hmm. and they're always looking for other good help. I imagine the same thing up in St. Cloud.
Yes, it is certainly, you know, when you're in a healthcare agency, we're always looking for different disciplines that we are need to fill, and we're certainly taking all of our efforts to find those people to plug the holes that are needed. And if we know of any good psychiatrists and doctors, and we'll send them our way and we'll get them plugged into our system.
So, Lisa, you're hiring.
We are hiring.
We are hiring.
We are hiring.
What's the major need? Nurses?
Doctors and nurses. Those are some of our most difficult positions to fill.
You probably have some retire every year, so you have to replace some. And people do come and go, unfortunately.
They do.
But what would you say to them if any of our listeners were thinking about a career or a job at the St. Cloud VA Medical Center? Is it a good place to work?
It's a very good place to work. When I first started at the VA, it was going to be a 3-year gig for me, right? In the military, you move every couple of years. Mm-hmm. 15 years later, I'm still there. You walk down the hallways and there's the commitment to veterans, commitment to the patients, commitment to family members. Everybody is there to serve a purpose, and it's you can literally feel it in the hallway. We were talking about military culture also earlier, and it's there. It's a comfortable place for veterans to be because we know what it's like to be a veteran because we are veterans and they're provided care by veterans. They're attended to by veterans. It's a place people can come to call home.
I hear from a number of the nurses at the Minneapolis VA where I go for my medical care. Mm-hmm. And I've asked them, how are the veterans to work with? And the answer is they're pretty good. They were disciplined. When you tell them they need to do something, they usually listen. Mm-hmm. Do you find that your patients, your veterans follow orders? Who wants that question?
In most cases, yes. But we're human too, right? Not everybody follows orders. We don't want people to follow orders blindly, but they're all committed to doing a good job.
All right. So you're looking for doctors and nurses and some other good people up there. Mm-hmm. And do you know, you're the HR lady, do you know what percentage of your employees are veterans?
Approximately 23% of our employees are veterans.
That's pretty good. Do you have a goal? Do you want to increase that?
We've been holding steady over the past few years between 21 and 23%. So we'd like to stay there. If we can increase it slightly, that would be wonderful. But that's about what our community is supporting, is about that 23%.
We're speaking with Cheryl T. Schaefer and Lisa Rosendahl, along with Annette Kuiper on Minnesota Military Radio, about the St. Cloud VA healthcare system becoming the 62nd Yellow Ribbon Company. And Annette, do you have another? We did have a hospital over in St. Paul that became Yellow Ribbon last year, didn't we?
Yes, Regents Hospital is one of our Yellow Ribbon companies as well.
Okay. And as I recall, when we talked to them, they were working closely with the Minneapolis VA and I assume the St. Cloud VA. If they got in emergency patients that were eligible for VA care, that they wanted to get them transferred out and close to home as quickly as possible.
Yes, Regents Hospital Hero Care Program receiving national recognition for that, and their partnership with all of our VA partners and veteran resources at state and local level.
So, ladies, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the St. Cloud VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with the St. Cloud VA healthcare system, and we have in the studio Annette Kuiper, our yellow ribbon lady. She always makes a face when I call her that, along with Cheryl T. Schaefer and Lisa Rosendahl from the St. Cloud VA Healthcare Center. And ladies, I wanted to talk about, we've learned today that you became the 62nd yellow ribbon company in Minnesota. You've learned some best practices, and you're getting to know some other yellow ribbon companies. But can we run through some of those best practices, Cheryl? Can you tell us some things that you've learned?
I'd be happy to. Well, you know, we are a big organization, the VA is, and it's our mission to serve veterans. So when Lisa mentioned we had 23% of our employees are veterans. And if you consider those that are military family members, that number is much, much, much bigger. One of the best practices that we set out right off the bat was when we got together our team to put this application together to become a become a yellow ribbon company. We included veteran members and military family members on that team, and felt like their representation on the steering committee made a huge difference on where we took this work. So that is a huge best practice. And perhaps one of our most visible things that I can point to that is really widely looked at as being something that is exceptional is we've put up several visual displays in our organization since you've been there in 2015.
Is that an invitation to come back?
Hey, come on back. We can find you some folks to be on the show here.
We'll talk to Sergeant Johnny about that later.
But we have a women's veterans display, for example, and we have pictures of family members of our employees. We have a Vietnam veterans display that's beautiful. Again, family members, employee pictures in the display that's just done professionally. It's very beautiful.
I want to take just a little side trip for a second here. You mentioned women veterans.
Yes.
There's more and more women serving in the military mm-hmm. these days than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that a larger percentage of your patients are women. Have you done some things to make the area where you take care of the ladies improve that?
I'm really glad you asked that question. We, in fact, are building a new women's clinic. And so it's going to be our project the dirt is going to start very soon. The construction will begin very soon on our new clinic.
So you're going to expand that clinic substantially?
We are a brand new clinic.
Okay, brand new.
Yep.
And are the women veterans, are they comfortable when they come to the St. Cloud VA?
I certainly hope so. I believe that they are.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're going to take special care of them in the future.
You bet.
Lisa, are there some other best practices that you want to share with us?
There are. At St. Cloud, we offer an annual Employee Appreciation Week. And recently, as part of our Yellow Ribbon employer efforts, we have a special segment of the program where we recognize veteran employees. Staff throughout the organization have provided overwhelming positive feedback to this addition to our ceremony. It's something that we already had in place, but we've bolstered it to recognize our veteran employees. We also have a way to visibly identify veteran employees where we offer all of our veterans a blue name tag or a blue hang tag that goes on their veteran or on their employee ID badge. So when they're walking through the hallway, visitors, veterans, other employees can recognize them as veterans themselves. So there's an instant connection there. We also maintain a website for information for employees and for veterans and for family members.
Cheryl, do you have any special activities like Memorial Day and Veterans Day?
We really do. Our mission is to serve veterans, and we have multiple events that we sponsor annually. And we really like to take every opportunity that we can to visibly honor and highlight all of the wonderful things that the veterans do for our country and active military and the communities.
Very good. We're just about out of time. Lisa, you're hiring.
We are hiring. We're hiring for positions throughout the healthcare facility. We are hiring doctors and nurses, as well as housekeeping staff, medical support assistants, medical clerks, variety of administrative and clinical positions. So if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about the St. Cloud VA, if they just call the Human Resource Department, I have two or three people dedicated to customer service to answer their questions, to help them with the USA job applications, to talk about veteran hiring authorities. Anything they want to know, we're there to help.
So you need some great new members for your team.
Absolutely, yes.
Very good. Ladies, thanks for joining us today. And Annette, we've got about 30 seconds left. How are you doing for new Yellow Ribbon companies?
Well, we're up to 65 Yellow Ribbon companies. And I just want to say the St. Cloud VA healthcare system was just a delight to work with. You could definitely see the staff and their dedication to veterans and their willingness to take a look at every area of their organization and make it even better. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to get to work with them. Our next Yellow Ribbon Company seminar will be an opportunity for them to share their wonderful best practices, and Mall of America is going to host that. So we're excited to hear what they've been doing with a lot of their community efforts as well.
Thank you, Annette. And thanks for bringing in Cheryl T. Schaefer and Lisa Rosenthal from the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System. Joining me now is Nancy Launderville, who is the supervisor of the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Nancy, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks again for having me back.
Good to have you back. We always talk about the fact that for our veterans who have served in the military and have any kind of issue, we want to send them to the county veteran service officers. But for our military, active duty, guard, and reserve, if they're having any kind of troubles while they're in the military, they should contact the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. You can find information on how to contact Nancy and her team at mnarng.org. Nancy, can you tell us briefly what type of things do you do? What do the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers do?
Sure. The Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers are dispersed throughout the state of Minnesota to basically provide resources, referrals, and support to all service members and their families. So we provide confidential services, so anything that is shared with us does not get filtered back to the service member's command. We have different services or different resources available for all kinds of different things, from car repair services, replacing washing machines, any sort of thing that might go wrong within the house, and then also financial assistance to help if someone were to lose their job or unfortunately be sick for a while and not be able to work. So there's a lot of different things that we can do, and we have 10 offices throughout the state of Minnesota.
So if a military family is suffering from a financial emergency of some kind, if they get a hold of the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers, you've got resources available to help those families.
Absolutely. One of the biggest ones that we have is the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, the MMFF. They are an organization that we work very closely with. They have an application that our service members or family members can complete, and then we send that information over to them, providing the request, the reason for the request of the grant, and then they have a board that will vote on that grant request, and then when it's approved, we will send them over the payment information, and they send it directly to the creditors, so the service members don't have to worry about getting checks out to the right place or paying for postage or any of that. It's all taken care of by the MMFF Foundation.
And they move very quickly.
Very quickly. I think our record has been about 15 minutes maybe for an approval on a grant. So once we receive the paperwork from the service member and everything is completed, it is a very quick turnaround, which alleviates a lot of stress for the service members and their families.
So Nancy, what type of things do people ask for help with?
Great question. Couple of things that we've had just this week or within the past month have been a request for a service member's family needed to get a new washing machine. The service member left on his deployment. Of course, every time they walk out the door, something happens. And so the washing machine completely broke, we're not expecting the extra costs and did not have the funds. So we were able to support them with a new washing machine. Another one that we had is a person who lost his job. It was a summer type job for employment, and because it's winter, he's no longer working. He had some back rent that he needed to pay for, and so we were able to take care of that so that when he goes forward, he's not going to be held back from getting a place to live with him and his two daughters.
Nancy, you just got a few seconds left. If any of our listeners are military families experiencing a problem, how do they find you?
They can go out to the Minnesota National Guard website, and our information is located inside there under resources. And again, they can also contact me directly at 651-282-4209.
Nancy, thanks for joining us again today.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Tom.
That was Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Adriana Seeley, Lisa Rosendahl, Cheryl T. Schaefer, Nancy Launderville, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about two great organizations here in Minnesota, MACV and Veterans for Veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.